But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything you need in your life. Our resources are from above. Amen. Our provision is from above. They manifest from the supernatural realm into the natural realm.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, and welcome to Love Never Fails. On today's program, Pastor Bill continues his study in the New Testament epistle of James with the conclusion to the message, Be Patient When. Let's listen in.
Oh, I was patient. And I told him, his name was Michael. I said, Michael, I can't help it. These trees, they shed. It kills on everybody. And I'm sorry. I said, but you can't dump my leaves back on my porch. So you know what he did? He goes out there and gets all the leaves. And I mean, if you know, they're big and they're all dead. And he piles them right on the curb and he pours gasoline all on them, gets out a match and throws a match on it and sets everything out there on fire. Now, what kind of person is that? What did I do to him? Did I love him? Did I go over? Did I throw him in the fire? Well, I'm not going to tell you what I did. But I did lead him to the Lord. Now I'm going to go ahead and say it. I did lead him to the Lord, finally. He was mean to everybody in the neighborhood. And I talked to him, got him back right with God. That Sunday, you know what he did? He took two showers, his mother told me. Two showers, put on his suit, said, I'm going to church and I'm going to have communion. Pulled into a restaurant, sat in his car, turned off the key, fell over dead. But he had gotten back with God. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, I just kind of got off track. But God takes personal revenge out of our hands. Did I want to smack him? I wanted to smack him. But I knew that God didn't want me to do those things. Now, so listen, it says be patient. When? He says, because the judge is coming. And when Jesus comes, is he going to correct everything that's wrong? Yes, no one is going to get away with anything. Whatever they've done, whether it's even the secret things, they're not going to get away with it. Listen, the Democratic Party, they are never going to make things right in this nation. The Republican Party, they're never going to make everything right in this nation. There is only one person that's going to make everything right in this world. And his name is Jesus Christ. He saves us, and he is our King. Amen? Now, so the Bible tells us that he's coming. That's what James just said. He's coming, man. The Lord is on his way. Talking about the second coming. It says in Psalm 96:13, it says, for he is coming. And let me tell you why. He is coming to judge the earth. And he shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. With his truth. The word of God is truth. God is truth. Amen? Now, so what does James do? He gives us three examples here of long-suffering, patience, whatnot. The farmer, the prophets, and Job. Look at it, verse 7. See how the farmer, what? Waits. That literally is present tense. So it'd be how he continually waits with expectation. And what is he waiting for? For the precious fruit of the earth. Waiting patiently for how long? Well, for it until it receives the early and latter rains. The early rains would be October, November. The latter rains would be the March, April. So, question. He's a farmer. Farmers, is that hard work? Listen, that's hard work. But can a farmer, can he rush the seasons? No, he doesn't have the power. Can he bring rain when he wants it? No. All he can do is wait. First of all, he plows. Then he plants the seeds. And it says that he waits patiently. He waits and he waits and he's waiting for the crop to come up. Even though it's not yet seen, it's working under the soil. Amen? And then finally, something happens. It says, then the precious fruit, valuable fruit, the wheat, whatever it might be, it then springs up from the earth. You know, we need to be a people that are eagerly waiting for the Lord. Amen? Because he's coming. That's why he says in verse 8, look at it. He says, you also be patient, the command there, be long-suffering, and so forth. Remember, that is only done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know it's also a fruit of the Spirit, by the way, long-suffering? It says, establish your hearts. That's another command. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, here, it's not speaking of the second coming. Here, it's speaking of the imminent, any moment, return, the catching away of the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, the Lord could take us away right now. You better establish your heart with that. Amen? I mean, listen, stay the course. No matter what's going on in our life, we're all going to have trials. He says, you establish your hearts. I believe that's contrasted with verse, what was it, 5, about the wicked rich who fattened their hearts. We should establish our hearts. That means to strengthen them, prop them up, make our hearts firm. Williams' translation puts it this way, you must put iron into your hearts. Jesus is at hand. In other words, we're living in expectancy. The Lord could come at any time. So what do we need to do with our heart? There are things that we need to get out, okay? That's why Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, in this prayer, now may the Lord direct your hearts. The word direct literally means, may the Lord clear out every obstacle of your heart. Anything that's wrong, get it out so you can keep going down the road, amen? So it says, may the Lord direct your hearts, and listen to what it says now, into the love of God. Oh, that's a great verse. What a prayer. Oh, Lord, direct my heart into your love. Isn't that great? And also something else. Not only direct my heart into the love of God, but into the patience, there's that word, the patience of Christ. In other words, here we are. We're waiting patiently for the Lord to take us home. This is not our home, man. It could happen right this minute. The psalmist has written Psalm 112:7, you'll not be afraid of evil tidings. And he tells us why. He says, our heart is steadfast. It's propped up. It's firm. It's fixed. Why? And he goes on to say, because you're trusting in the Lord. We trust in the Lord. He's the one who directs our paths. Amen. And then he says also, oh, your heart is established. You'll not be afraid. That's exactly right. When your heart is established, what do you have to be afraid of? If you believe the word of God, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen? Amen? Amen. Listen, so the Lord is at hand. So James is saying, open your eyes, man. Open your eyes. He's almost here. You know, one of the greatest ways to establish your heart is to believe the word of God, yes, but to believe something else. You really are a citizen of heaven. This is not your home. Matter of fact, Jesus said that we're not of this world. Amen? We've been translated out of this world into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We don't belong to this place. This world is perishing. It's not going to last. And here's what we have to do. We have to believe the Word of God. Believe what Jesus said in John 14. He said in John 14, 1, he says what? Let your heart be not troubled. Okay. An established heart will not be troubled, meaning by the power of grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, believing the Word of God. Let your heart be not troubled. And he says to the disciples and to us, believe in God. Believe in God. And also believe in me. In my Father's house, or how many mansions? Many, many dwelling places. One of them has your name on it. Amen. Can you imagine the home that the Lord has prepared for you right now? Think about that. He says, oh, my Father's have many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have not told you, but I go away. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, ye may be also. That's the rapture, loved one. Our homes are ready. We might be gone today. You just don't know. And so he says there, James continues now in verse 9, and he says something very important because of what all they were going through. He says, do not grumble. Now, that's a command. Do not grumble. Don't complain. Don't groan against one another, brethren. Why? Well, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. If Jesus is standing at the door, that means he's ready to go. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. Amen? When you find him standing at the door, and that means he's about to open the door and he's coming. That's how intimate that is right there. And he says, listen, you stop right now. See, when you're going through, when the suffering like they were going through, they don't want to complain one to another because that causes divisions. In other words, why did you get paid today a little bit and I didn't get paid? Does that make sense? Well, what, are you, is he, those landowners, are you a favorite or something? My family's starving and you got paid and I didn't. He says, stop your grumbling. Stop complaining against one another. That's what the devil does. The devil loves to come in. He divides, then he conquers. Amen? So he commands us, stop doing that. So he says, listen, basically, if I've commanded you to be long-suffering with the wicked rich, what they're doing, can you not be long-suffering with one of your brothers or sisters? Amen? And that's exactly what we need to do. But then he says something. He says, lest you be condemned. That word means unless you be judged. In James 4:12, James says this, who are you to judge your brother? Or who are you to judge anyone? And so he says, don't do that, man. But then again, he says, look at it. Behold, that means right there, open your eyes. He says, don't you know that Jesus is standing at the door? You know, I love what Martin Luther said. Let me read it to you. Martin Luther said, I preach as though Christ died yesterday, arose from the dead today, and is coming back tomorrow. Amen. That's a great word, isn't it? Yes. And so he says in verse 10, my brethren, listen, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, not their message, God's message, as an example, a pattern for us, okay? A pattern, an outline, example of suffering and patience. But now wait. That word patience is not long-suffering here. This word means endurance, okay? In other words, it speaks of endurance which does not succumb, fall apart during hardship. Now listen, they spoke in the name of the Lord. You speak in the name of the Lord, are you going to be persecuted? You better believe it in this life. You know, listen, you can be in the absolute perfect will of God and suffer in this life and be persecuted. Amen? That's why he says, look at the prophets. Look at him. Go study him out. I mean, Daniel, what an example. I mean, was he in the lion's den? Okay. But what did the angel do to the lion's mouth? He closed it. Amen. See, God is always with you. He was with Daniel, and the same God that was with Daniel is going to be with us as well. Or take Jeremiah. Boy, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. I mean, how would you like to be called like he was? Number one, he was called before he was ever born. He was set apart before he was ever born. He was ordained before he was ever born. And then he was called by God to be a prophet to a nation that would never listen to him. And matter of fact, he was hated by all the kings. He was hated by all the priests. He was hated by all of his friends. He was forbidden to marry, never made one convert, and he served God for 40, maybe 42 years. Man, but he endured. He never, never quit. And he says in verse 11, indeed, we count them, the ones that I just mentioned, all the prophets, we count them blessed who what? Endure, that don't give up. They just keep on going and so forth. The blessing, loved one, when you're going through it, the blessing doesn't happen until after you endure. That's when the blessing comes, not before. You have to fight. You have to get the victory, loved one. So he says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job. You've seen the end intended by the Lord, that he is very, not just compassionate, he's very compassionate, very merciful. Now listen, we know all about Job. You've probably read the book 100 times, right? The thing is, Job, I mean, it was unimaginable and unexplained, the suffering that he endured. Amen? I mean, he wasn't told why he was going through all that. He didn't know it was the devil that was causing all of that. He didn't know that Satan had talked to God, all the things that happened. Oh, listen, you're talking about that went through it. I mean, think about it. In one day, Job lost all of his wealth, all of his servants, except for about three, I think. He lost all of his wealth. He lost 10 of his all of his children, 10 of them. He buried them. In one day, that happened. Man, think about that. Then something else happened. He lost his health. I mean, boils covered his entire body. He lost his health. He lost his reputation. But one of the worst things that happened to Job was that he lost, even though it wasn't true, but he himself lost the nearness and the nowness or the presence of the living God. He felt alone, like God was no longer with him. The only thing that remained with Job were three crummy friends and his wife. Job, do you remember what she said? Do you still cling to your integrity? Just curse God and die. You know, if your wife's guys saw you covered with boils, the Bible said that when the three crummy friends came down to see him, they sat with him 7 days. They didn't even recognize him. They didn't recognize Job. He was emaciated. He would take broken clay pots and scrape the boils and the worms off of his body. Man, is that suffering? And he didn't know why he was suffering. Do you understand? And I say, dear Lord, I mean, what did Job do? Did he endure? Let me give you the scripture. Job 1:20. After all those things happened, and Job arose, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, he fell to the ground, and he cursed God. No, he worshiped. And he said, oh, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I'm going to return. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Loved one, listen. I say it every time I read that scripture, study Job, teach it or whatever. I have to ask you a question. If what had happened to Job, if you lost everything today, you lost your reputation, you lost every friend that you had, you don't have a credit card, you have absolutely no money, your home is gone, everything is gone, your body is full of worms and boils and all of that, what would you do? Would Jesus still be enough for you then? God was enough for Job. He said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. What kind of endurance is that? But you know, see, the problem about studying the book of Job, you get the first three or four chapters down and you don't go to the last. Remember what God did at the very end? It says that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Let me give you the scripture, Job 42:12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning, meaning that God, when you read it, he doubled everything that Job had lost. And not only that, if I'm not mistaken, after that, Job lived another 140 years. Listen now. Long suffering. Be patient when everything is falling apart. When everything seems to, Bill, I'm not going to make it. I don't know what to do. Listen, God wrote the last chapter of Job's life, and he'll write the last chapter of your life. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never relax his hold upon you. No, never. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of this age. Amen. Listen, endure. You stand, you be patient. When everything seems to be falling apart, because it's not, God is working. And then look how he ends in verse 12. And this is a tough scripture because of what he does. Now watch this. James says now, but above all, and that's what makes this a tough scripture, above everything that we've covered here, above, this is the top thing. He says, above all, in connection with what just preceded, what we just learned, okay? Above all, my brethren, here comes a command, do not swear, either by heaven, by earth, or with any other. Here comes another command, let your yes be yes, no be no. Why? Lest you fall into judgment. Now, Jesus quoted in Matthew 5:33 something similar to this, so we know James is taking it from that, no doubt, because the Holy Spirit's leading him that way. But the text here is a divine warning. Don't you swear. Now, it's very important, because I've heard this taught before, and they say, don't you swear. That means don't you cuss. Don't you have profanity and all that kind of stuff. Ephesians 4:30, let no corrupt communication. Corrupt communication means vile, dirty, putrid, filthy talk. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about making an oath, okay? Oaths were certainly not forbidden or anything like that, so it's not profanity. Now, let's look at this quickly. Taking an oath, okay, when a person takes an oath, what they say, I'm taking an oath, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God, I have my hand on the Bible. Does that mean that what he says is true? No. I mean, you can take an oath and say it, and you're lying through your teeth. Do you understand what I mean? So what is James saying? He's saying, guys, you need to speak the truth. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. You need to stick together now and do what is right. There's only one language, he's saying, for the family of God, and that is this. Number one, you speak the truth in love. Amen? And it says in Ephesians 4:25, putting away from you lying to one another. Get those lies away from you, for you are members of one another. So he's saying, you get rid of all those things. Be careful how you say it. Be careful what you promise to somebody. Don't promise something that you're not going to keep. Why? Look at that word now. Lest you fall into what? Say it. Judgment. What in the world is he talking about? That's why this verse is so hard. In other words, I thought, doesn't Scripture say we're not going to come under judgment? Let me give you the Scripture. Jesus said in John 5:24, he said this, truly, truly, that is amen and amen, or which means it is certain, it is immutable, it is unchangeable. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. Thank the Lord, we do. And listen to what Jesus says now. And does not come into judgment. We're not going to be judged like that. Are we going to be judged for our sins? Our sins were paid for, amen? They're paid for. He says, you're not going to come into judgment. Man, you've passed out of death into life. How about Paul in Romans 8:1? Therefore, there is now. That word means now and for all eternity. Therefore, now, those that are in Christ Jesus, no condemnation, no judgment. But James says, lest you fall into judgment. So what in the world is he talking about? Now, listen carefully. Verse 12 is all about what comes out of our mouth. Yes, no, I'm going to make an oath, or I'm going to swear this or that. So he's talking now about speech. Now, we are all going to stand at a judgment, and a Christian, only Christians. It's called the Bema Seat, or the judgment seat of Christ. It is a place of rewards, amen? But on that day, even though I believe the church is so deceived about this, because they really don't believe that it's, you can say anything you want, it doesn't matter, that's not true. On that day, loved one, listen to me, Jesus said, listen to what he said, Matthew 12:36, but I say to you that for every idle word a man speaks, a Christian, every idle word, that means an inoperative word, a useless word, a word that doesn't build up or edify, and it doesn't mean that, yes, you can bring correction, all those things, but it has to produce some kind of life. It doesn't produce death. It's an inoperative word, doesn't do anything. He says, every idle word that men may speak, here it comes, they will give an account on in that day, or in the day of judgment. Amen? In the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, by your words you will be condemned. So you're either going to be justified by what comes out of your mouth, or you're going to be condemned by what comes out of your mouth. So yes, we will give an account of that. So James said, you know, you guys get it right. Listen, you know what we need to remember is that when we talk, does God hear? Yes, he does. But here's what I want you to know this morning. I know it's time to go. Now listen, God hears your cry. Does he hear the cries? He hears you. He knows who's, if you've been ripped off, he knows who they are. He knows why they did it. He knows when they did it. He knows the hurt that's in your heart. I mean, you were cheated out of this. You were at a job for 30 years, and right before your retirement, right, you worked all those years. You never missed a day. You were faithful in and out. And right before your retirement came up, they let you go so they wouldn't have to pay for your retirement. Does it gut you? Does it hurt you? God says, oh, no, listen, be patient, be long-suffering when that happens. I'm here. God says, I know. You give it to me. You let me handle it. You let me handle it. Yes, I know what your ex-husband did. I know what your ex-wife did. I know what your father did. I know all things. You don't. I do. You be patient and turn it over to me. And God says, I promise that what has been done to the sheep of my pasture, I'll take care of them. That is the God that we serve. Amen. Oh, listen, that's who you serve. Be patient when everything is falling apart, when we don't know what to do, when people are just taking advantage of us. Be patient. Be long-suffering. Be like God.
On Love Never Fails Tomorrow, Pastor Bill begins the final message from his James series. He's entitled this final message, Prayer is the Work. And we look forward to seeing you once again. As always, thank you for listening today. Be blessed, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.